Dear Father, we bow before you this morning. We do thank you for this opportunity of gathering together once again. We do ask now that you might bless this service. I ask especially that you would help me, that I could share those things which you would have me to share. Lord, that your people would be edified and that you'd be glorified this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am thankful to be here this morning. Excuse me. I apologize for my throat problem. But I'm thankful to be here this morning to worship the Lord with you all. And as I spent some time considering what to share, a thought came, as we had a conversation amongst ourselves on concerning fear. We were just discussing fear, especially with children and different aspects of that. But as I was thinking about fear and pondering it, I just began looking in God's Word and looking at the different types of fear that we can find in God's Word. So the study this morning, or the brief meditation, will be the fear of God or fear of man. And just a few scriptures and thoughts, I guess, that God has blessed me with. So the word fear, I just looked it up in the Webster's. It's probably very much what we would think of. The first definition would be a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear expresses less apprehension than dread, and dread less than terror and fright. The force of this passion, beginning with the most moderate degree, may thus be expressed: fear, dread, terror, fright. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. Fear is the passion of our nature which excites us to provide for our security on the approach of evil. Just one of the definitions there of fear, especially when we look at fear of man or fear of maybe something evil. So there's just some questions went through my mind. Is fear good? Is it right? What does the Word of God say about fear? Who is the author of fear? And what are the different types of fear? And as I started looking into it, the more I thought about it, I realized that the Bible only speaks positively about one type of fear, and that is the fear of the Lord. And so I just found a number of references in Proverbs. It's found, the fear of the Lord is found 14 times in Proverbs. And I'll just read a number of those here. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I was really blessed by reading those verses on the fear of the Lord and what it can do for our lives. Just some thoughts here. With the fear of the Lord in place, we do not need to fear man or what he can do to us. We can trust God with everything in our life. There's nothing that's too big for him. He wants us to yield our fears to Him. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Turn to that scripture. Very familiar. But many of the children probably could quote it for us. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And that includes fears and doubts that may come to us. As I considered fear is often the plant which grows from the seeds of doubt. If you think about it, if we begin to question or doubt whether God really loves us or whether His word is really true, it brings a lot of insecurities into our lives, and fears will often accompany. In 1 John, we'll read 1 John 4. There's a few verses there that I'd like to read. 1 John 4, verses 15 through 19. Let's just read those at this time. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Those verses speak of two interesting words there. In verse 18, it talks about fear and it talks about love. And as I read them, I pondered in the last part there it says, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." But it's talking about being made perfect in love there, and how does that happen? And I guess my thoughts there, it speaks of the love casts out fear. And how is that possible? If we dwell in love, it says that we dwell in God himself. And this, I believe, is only possible to those who manifest love by being obedient to the teachings of God. And I believe that is how we can how love can be made perfect in us, is by being obedient to what God shows us in His Word, and through our conscience, love can be perfected in us. In Deuteronomy 10. I'm going to be transitioning a little more to the fear of man here and how it can be a snare to us. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13 here. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." The fear of man, bringeth a snare, Proverbs 29:25 says. "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." As I thought about that verse, I thought about a snare. What is a snare? A snare could also be called a trap or something like along those lines. And my mind went to a trap and how we as humans can be tangled up sometimes in fear of man and what other people think of us, and how that can hinder how we are able to live out the Christian life. And I believe that God wants us to be set free from all other fears, and that we should have a holy and right fear of the Lord. I wanted to read, and I forgot that, but I wanted to read the definition, another definition of fear that has to do with the fear of the Lord. I forgot that earlier on. But one of the definitions is, in Scripture, fear is used to express a filial or slavish passion. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and His laws, which spring from a just view and a real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and incline them to aim at perfect obedience. This is filial fear. And Jeremiah 32 gives an example. I will put my fear in their hearts. I'm going to read that definition one more time. In Scripture, fear is used to express a filial or slavish passion. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and His laws, which spring from a just view and a real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. And I just want to leave that as a thought, or as a definition of the fear of the Lord. And I don't claim to have totally grasped that definition myself yet. But it causes us to stand in awe of God and to want and to love His precepts and His laws. So if you look at that in context of the fear of man, it's a little different meaning there, I believe, for myself. But I believe that the fear of man can become a snare or a trap to us that will hinder us from unconditionally surrendering ourselves to follow Jesus. We must be willing to be a fool for Christ. And I'm not necessarily talking about in a church setting like this. But, you know, when we're out and about, there are times when we are not going to be the normal. And we must be willing to stand for what the Bible teaches us and what our convictions are and such like. We must be willing to stand alone. I really believe that every one of us, at one time or another in our life, will face a time when we will be standing alone. And may the fear of the Lord preserve us in those times as we have a proper awe and respect of God. With convictions that are built on the bedrock of God's Word as a foundation, I believe that a question I guess I have is, you know, will we yield our conviction or truths to fit with popular opinion as we face that more and more in this generation around us? Or do we have the fear of God in our hearts that will empower us through the difficulties of life? And there was an incident not too long ago where I was made aware of someone that was struggling and was defeated. And sometimes we can think that we're able to stand, we're able to make it on our own, we're strong enough. But you know, sometimes we need to be able to stand up and say, you know what, others may be able to do that, but I can't. And be willing to make ourselves accountable and vulnerable to other people in that way, especially to a brotherhood as such. But it's just an instant that I had recently, and I've thought about that. The devil can very easily use times like that to bring defeat as we put ourselves out in a position where, in a sense, we're almost tempting him in that sense. I won't go into any details there, but it was just a thought that I had, I guess, this past week. And how we do need each other as brothers and sisters to be able to walk this Christian life. And I also hesitated in a sense to share this because I wanted it clear that I truly believe that a brotherhood is very important, and I don't feel like we need to try to stand our ground on what we think is truth and opposition to everyone else when it's more or less a preference maybe. But I do believe we do need to be established in the Word of God. And we need to learn how to walk and how to live in this evil day around us. We must remember that just because it is the accepted thing doesn't make it right. We must always choose the right. We must always choose life. We must always choose the narrow way. And many times we must choose the road that's less traveled. And we must choose to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We must choose to walk in truth, in righteousness, and in holiness. And none of those things are very popular today. And we will not be looked upon with great esteem by the world around us. But that's the calling upon our lives as Christians. We need not be apologetic of truth and right. Remember, truth will always set you free. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And one of the thoughts I had was, as you study the life of Christ, Jesus never apologized for truth. His attitude and his spirit was always right, but he always stood for truth. And in closing, I just want to read this. I'm not exactly sure who wrote it, but there's just something I've read that blessed my heart. After that, I will take my seat. "Think not that I am come to send peace, temporal peace and outward prosperity. They thought Christ came to give all his followers wealth and power in the world. No, says Christ, I did not come with a view to give them peace. Peace in heaven they may be sure of, but no peace on earth. Christ came to give us peace with God, peace in our conscience, peace with our brethren, but in the world ye shall have tribulation." I just read that. We need to keep an eternal focus on our life, or we will wander off course. So, just a few thoughts, I guess, concerning what fears are in our life. God wants to give us victory over the fears of man, over the fears of in this world. And may we have a true fear of God in our hearts. So God bless you.